A passenger plane lands at night.
I'm Lieutenant Colonel John Harris. I'm the commander of the British forces who are going to work with you for the next 5 weeks. So far, we've watched your fight from afar, and we've seen the devastation that Russia has brought to Ukraine as well. We've got enormous respect for the bravery and determination to win that Ukraine has shown so far. Whilst we're not fighting alongside you on the battlefield, what I can offer you is some of the best training in the world.
Deep in the English countryside, the British Army is turning Ukrainian civilians into frontline combat troops to fight in the war against Russia. These aren't soldiers. They're florists, teachers, welders, people with no experience at all in battle.
This must feel completely bizarre. You've got to remember, these guys, they've left their families, they've left everything that feels familiar. They've arrived here in a different country.
They must just be thinking, I can't quite believe where I am.
Get in there!
Over the next 5 weeks, the British Army will intensively train these recruits on how to kill and how to survive.
Come on! It's a real life casualty, isn't it? Don't know, it's hard, let's go!
You know, this isn't training on the off chance that one day they may end up in a war zone. This is them seriously preparing themselves to be on that front line in 5 weeks' time.
The volunteers stand in rows on the airport tarmac. Stacey Dooley, ready for war. The UK flag flanked by two Ukrainian flags, then a vast warehouse full of boxes and bunk beds.
Last night, 400 men slept in this hangar. Half of them have completed the course and are heading out to the front line this morning. And the other half are the newcomers who are about to begin their training.
How are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Stacey.
Pasha is 30. Back home, he's a welder. Yesterday, he said goodbye to his mum and dad and got on a plane to the UK.
How do your parents feel about the fact that you've come over here to train to essentially become
a
soldier?
Very good, yeah.
They're not happy.
Not very good.
Not very happy. I like from the fence. Mother, goodbye. Father. And they're still crying.
Oh, they were emotional.
He nods and looks down.
Are you okay?
Of course. He rallies and continues. Father say, you make the right choice, but mother say, no, maybe somehow you can stay home. I say, no, mother, it's time to go.
You can stay home, I think. It's time to go.
She's scared. You're her son.
It's mother.
I imagine this feels quite overwhelming.
For me, it's more easy because I have no children.
For me, it's more easy because I have no children, for example. Guys who have children, much more harder.
Just ahead of Pasha in the queue for equipment is Artem. He's left behind his son and his partner and a successful career as a jeweller.
Congratulations on your pregnancy.
Thank you. You have children?
One.
I have a son. Six.
Does your son understand why Dad had to leave?
Yes, he understands. My son, when he grows up, wants to be in the Ukrainian army.
My baby isn't even here yet. I can't imagine how difficult it must be to leave a child in a war zone.
She trails off. Artem says, I'm very worried about him, about my family. It's very difficult for me, but I didn't have a choice. I'm ready to give my life in order for my child to live in a free country.
Artem's son lives with his mother near the Russian border. The families of many of the men here have been in range of enemy artillery since Russia launched a full-scale attack last year. Yaroslav is a masseur. He's very clear why he volunteered.
I see in a railway station
dead children, dead people. I was seeing this in Kyiv. Someone, maybe from a shotgun, someone I see, head was broken twice.
Head was broken twice.
Do you feel scared?
Scared what?
Scared dying? What? Dying. Stacy nods. All people in time will be dying. Maybe in 100 years, something.
100
Maybe
years
faster.
Maybe.
But you're 28. Faster. You're 28.
Those Russians will come here and start to kill children. It's not normal. Better I die than die some children. Stacy nods. Across the hangar, a volunteer is fitted with a camouflage uniform.
The army is lending the recruits everything they need for the course. Pasha, so much kit.
I feel like it's Christmas.
So first up, they need to get familiar with the equipment.
Good morning. We're just going to do a quick kit check. There are a few big items. I'm just going to call them out. And then if you're missing it, put your hand up. Do them up. Do your helmets up. Make sure the chin strap fits and is in the right place.
Pasha adjusts his helmet.
That has to go under your chin. You know, if you'd have told these guys a year ago, in a year's time, you're going to be in a massive hangar in Britain, trying on army gear to get ready to go and potentially kill. I'm sure they'd have thought you were nuts.
One man dabs cream onto his face.
That's your makeup.
Okay, if your helmet's fit, I want you to start putting on your warm jacket, outer layer and inner layer.
The army trainers and a team of Ukrainian interpreters have just 5 weeks to teach these men what British soldiers learn over 6 months. It's pretty intense, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They'll start off, be a bit sort of shocked at what we're asking them to do.
And it must be strange for you, and also quite rewarding, I'd imagine, to see such a transition over such a short space of time.
It is rewarding, but there's no point in us being too pally or friendly with them, because at the end of the course, these soldiers are going to go, and at the end of the day, they're going to be fighting a war, and it's not a nice war either. The last course we have, we're already taking casualties. One of the commanders got hit in the head the other day with a rocket, so he's in a coma. But if he's been hit, then you can sort of guarantee that some of the others...
Lad that I was talking to, he's a welder.
Mm.
What, yes, a shift.
All walks of life.
What a shift.
A large-scale war like this isn't won by the professional army. It's won by the side that can quickly and efficiently train soldiers to a better standard than the other side.
Field skills, survival, Major Waters.
The British Army likes to make its soldiers train in the parts of England where the weather is bad. Over the next 5 weeks, as we go through the training, you will be pushed both mentally and physically. When you're tired, you're wet, you're cold and you're hungry, look after each other.
Look at that!
In just over a month, the recruits will be on the battlefield during a Ukrainian winter. So the first part of the training is simply about survival. On the front line, they may well be living in foxholes. So for the next few days, they'll be getting used to life in a dugout. But Pasha, the welder I met yesterday, has already got a problem.
Why didn't you mark it?
He didn't number his backpack, and now it can't be found. As Pasha's platoon head off, he's still looking for his kit.
Pasha rummages through backpacks and says, not mine.
I failed, but I'm not sure, will they punish me or not?
We'll see.
If it wasn't for the mat, I wouldn't have found it.
Finally, Pasha can try to catch up with the rest of his section.
Bed start.
Standing in misty woodland.
Right, are we all in now? Okay, so we're going to talk about patrol harbours and patrol bases.
Most of the front line in Ukraine is in the countryside, so key to survival in a few weeks' time will be knowing how to set up and protect a secure base called a harbour area.
And that gives us what we call all-round defence. So we've got people looking out in all areas so that if we get attacked by the enemy, then we are able to react from any direction. Okay, so if the purposes of this is going to be our harbour area.
Okay. So you can use them two trees.
Basic survival skills that British soldiers learn over several months have been crammed into the first few days of the course.
Pasha says, we'll probably stay here. Another trainee agrees and puts down his backpack. They lie on the ground with their rifles aimed and an instructor works his way down the line, adjusting their firing positions.
so much for them to take
in. There is a lot for them to take in, yeah. It is really important that we closely monitor them so we can pinpoint today what they're not so strong at and then feed that into the training later on. Yeah.
It's hard for you guys as well because you have to deliver all of this information in such a short space of time.
Yeah. It's hard because if they haven't picked something up, there's not loads of time to correct it. So sometimes I think the instructors feel like maybe we haven't given them the best possible chance that we could give them just because of the time that we have, but you just have to hope that they do remember and pick up the majority of the training that we teach them.
You look beautiful.
The instructor pats a helmet secure on a recruit's head. Pasha's lying next to a stump of wood, his rifle aimed ahead of him. He prods a piece of fungus on the stump and says, "Nice nature. I like it.
I like it.
I've done camping." Lying in the long grass, he says, "I've done camping in the forest. Yeah, I've done that, but not with weapon, armour, helmet, etc." He turns his gaze back down the sight of his rifle and adds, "But it was a game."
"But it was a game.
This is not a game."
"Yeah.
It's preparation for something more." The recruit next to him, Ilya, says, "My tattoo's itchy." Pasha asks, "Have you done it recently? 2 weeks ago. Do you have tattoos?" "Of course," Pasha replies. "I'll show you later."
How often is that thought, "This is not a game," at the forefront of your mind?
I think everyone
preferred to see smiling guy who can make you feel the same way. Sometimes, you know, I feel bad and cry inside. But I never will show that. Pasha asks, "Why are we lying here then?"
"If we just put your weapons beside you, okay, so we can start cooking our lunches."
When Russian forces invaded Ukraine, Pasha was living in Belgium.
"Don't forget water."
"When the war started, in the morning I get woke up, watch the news, and I'm like, shit."
Pasta bolognese.
"I call my parents, they say, stay in Belgium." And I just bought a ticket and went home. And only a few days later, when I came to Ukraine, I called them and said, "I'm in Ukraine." They say, like, "Why? What are you doing?" But father said, "I'm proud that you came," anyway.
He cooks his meal in a metal tray over a flame and says, "Very nice."
"I saw people on the border. Almost all of them, it was girls, ladies, and children. It was about 5,000 people."
"Then we've got any spare water?"
"Who can protect them if not us?"
Moving slowly over the dense, foggy woods. Now, silhouetted against pale sunlight, the new recruits walk on patrol between the trees, holding their rifles. One of them's Artem, who slows every now and then to look all around him into the shadows of the forest.
On the front line, the recruits will need to know instinctively how to react if they're ambushed.
Artem hits the ground and takes aim.
"We've got a 50-50 split here, haven't we? Okay, so contact Bravo, contact right. Okay, so the contact's on the right-hand side of the patrol. So the entire Delrum's been shot up the Harris because they're facing the wrong way. Okay, so stand up, shake out, try again.
Contact Bravo!
Contact Bravo!"
The recruits dive onto their bellies and mime shooting.
"Bum, bum. Right, let's stop saying bang, 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 not children."
Repetition is a key part of the training.
"Right, as soon as you're ready, let's go."
So things become automatic. But 6 days of lying on the forest floor is starting to get to Artem, the jeweller with the six-year-old son.
"We practiced ambush positions and I had to keep one pose for 1.5 hours. While lying there, many thoughts were going through my head. What am I doing here? Because I changed a warm home for a cold forest."
тому що я змінив теплу квартиру на холодний ліс.
I changed my shirts and cool clothes for equally cool Ukrainian and British uniform, but it's always dirty and wet. The instructor lays coloured dots on the ground.
So we have our enemy position, okay, and we're patrolling that way down the road. Okay, and we get contacted from this enemy position on a contact right. Okay, so we move up to set that baseline, okay? We go towards the enemy, all right? Once Charlie are in place, they're going to shout, Delta, move! Okay, then Delta will move back.
The importance of covering each other and moving only when someone else is defending is stressed again and again. This needs to be automatic if the recruits are going to survive.
You think it's hard now? Wait till everyone's firing, okay? Then it's going to be really hard, okay? That's why we need to get it slick now. So when we start firing, okay, we know where we need to be and we know what we need to do. Right, let's have another go. Let's get stacked up.
Artem shows photos on his phone of himself by the sea and posing beside a car. Before the war, I'd get up and work till late because I wanted to buy a car, a flat, stuff like that. I had a completely different life. Recruits run past another who's crouching to provide cover, shouts of, last man. They regroup on open grassland, away from the trees. Artem says, I'm far from home. I'm not with my family. My priority now is this training, and I want to get back as soon as possible to help our comrades end this war.
When we do this for real, okay, we don't stop now, okay? We're going to be extracting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kilometers. We don't want to be doing that in full Gore-Tex. It'll be fucking hard work, all right?
31-year-old Mikola is also in Artem's section.
When we step off this afternoon to do this, okay, all this Gore-Tex is coming off, all right?
We didn't take off our rain gear, so it was hard to run, but it's our mistake. We'll take off our rain gear to move more freely. We'll keep on practicing the exercises and correct all the mistakes. A sheet billows over a makeshift camp in the forest.
Mikola's job back home is a world away from being a frontline soldier.
At home, I grow flowers. I have tulips, petunias, and ornamental trees. I really love flowers.
And who have you left behind?
My girlfriend of 6 years is waiting for me. We try to keep in touch, but when we're out here, I warn her I'll be absent for 3 or 4 days. She's not happy. I would feel the same. But when training ends, in the future, we'll have to communicate like this, but that will be the real thing, when we're on a combat mission.
When they're deployed, the recruits may be living in the field for weeks at a time. So keeping dry through the night is another vital skill.
Digging trenches in the forest floor as night falls. Now in daylight, wearing a hooded coat, Pasha kneels on the grass, rolling up a ground sheet.
It's been raining since midnight, and Welder Pasha is soaked to the skin. But he's amazingly cheerful and determined to dig a better foxhole next time.
We have about 15 centimeters of water in our trenches. It felt at night. That's why we have full shelter of water. And our sleeping bags also is wet because we made it wrong. But in the future we will fix it. So it's good preparation for the situation that we have on the front line.
He jumps into the waterlogged trench and laughs. That's why we're here, to be ready to do that in Ukraine. They shoulder their backpacks and march on. Urban warfare. In a derelict building, a soldier shouts grenade and steps back behind a door.
The recruits have moved on to fighting from street to street and building to building. These are essential skills for cities occupied by Russian forces.
Enter the room, barricade yourself in like they showed you.
Alongside the trainers and recruits every day are interpreters like Aliyah.
We basically do everything they do. It's a combination of translating,
and running around with them, doing all the exercises with them, supporting them when it's needed, helping them when it's needed, giving them a little bit of motivation when it's required, when they are a bit down.
When clearing buildings like this, contact with the enemy is likely to be sudden and deadly.
Aliyah translates dead, then tells recruits, control the threat on one side while you clear the other side.
We are practicing how to clear the buildings. First floor, second floor, third floor. Taking one floor after another. I think they're preparing here psychologically and physically, both.
Yeah, you need the two.
Yeah,
you?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Maybe psychologically even more. Because when you will be back there, the adrenaline will push you. But you have to be prepared mentally. Mm. So.
Okay, guys. Rock and roll.
Yes, rock and roll.
She's like such a powerhouse. She's really, really impressive.
Aliyah translates, support, there's a threat, push in, two people.
Before I came to England, I stayed in the Netherlands, and obviously I had very good living conditions. I was staying with my friends, I had a double bed, and I was like, it doesn't feel good.
Because of what's happening in Ukraine?
Because I know what's happening in Ukraine, and I know how my people live. And I think a lot of people who leave the country, they have that survival guilt. We know where they're going. We know what they're going to go through. How we can be just standing aside and just simply translate. So it's more about helping them, being there for them. Because we're not only interpreters for them. Mm-hmm. We become friends in a way. Emotionally very harsh sometimes, but very rewarding at the end of the day.
Deltwood took two men dead in this building, right, because they didn't check a corner.
There's like corners and there's cupboards. They check the whole room before we say chista, okay?
Yeah, obviously, like, it sounds a bit negative, right? There's a lot of work on points, okay? But there's a lot of good things that are happening, okay?
Do you know, I imagine it's a difficult balance for the instructors to get right. It's a fine line. You need to really hammer home that if you make a mistake back in Ukraine, that's you possibly dead, your mate's dead.
She pauses for the gunfire.
But you also need to make sure that they're feeling confident, because they need to go to that front line feeling like they are competent and they've got it in them to be productive. So they're just asking so much of them.
Pasha's lying hunched over his rifle. An instructor kneels beside him.
After a dodgy start with a lost backpack and a foxhole full of water, Pasha has been making a good impression on the training team. They've decided he has leadership potential, so he's being promoted to second-in-command, or 2IC, of his unit.
As a 2IC, actually, you count in your head how many magazines you've got in the section.
Pasha asks him to distribute around all my section. He walks around the other recruits, asking how many magazines they have left.
For me, it's difficult to coordinate people because all my life I use it to control only my actions, and I'm, all the time I concentrated on that, but now I should concentrate on controlling other people.
He tells the instructor, as a 2IC, everything falls on my shoulders.
Like I said, you can use like other people to help you out. We're a section, work together.
I think I can do it by my own. The instructor claps him on the shoulder and they laugh.
From now on, Pasha has to look after his men as well as himself. How's he taken to his role?
He's doing pretty good.
Obviously, he's never had this much responsibility, but he's been pretty good so far.
We know at home he's a welder.
A welder, is he?
Yeah.
How am I?
Pre-section, all of your big bags. Put them here in a single line, like 2 section.
It seems like there's a nice working relationship between you and the recruits.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously we're here to obviously keep them firm.
Yeah.
And make sure they do everything properly, but we're still here if they want to talk and stuff like that. So we're not mean to them all the time. But obviously you've got to make sure they, you know, do their skill drills correctly.
Right. Okay, let's go for an ambush.
Walking up a muddy road.
The recruits hope that once back in Ukraine, they'll be retaking territory from Russian forces. But with that comes the risk of landmines. To prepare them, they're about to enter a minefield where they'll find casualties with terrible injuries.
We're about to walk into an area that was previously held by the enemy. Okay, but when it was enemy held, they put mines.
As the new 2IC, Pasha will have to make sure the first aid they've all been taught is put into action.
Okay, the safe lane, so where it is safe and been cleared, is marked either side by white plastic markers. So between those white markers, that is safe.
Let's go remove casualties!
They run into the woods where smoke's billowing and a civilian lies groaning on the ground, his leg apparently a bloody stump.
I didn't
Doctor,
mean
the recruits take up position asking, where are the mines? They bind the man's leg.
Let's get into a safe area, then do more time.
I don't like mines.
I don't like mines. I hate them, really.
Get another man,
Because
you're just walking there, and then you blow up. They drag a man dressed as a soldier with a bloody leg away from the blast zone. Okay, let's give him first aid. Give me a bandage. Take the stick and give it to me. They splint the shattered leg with a branch. If you die from enemy contact, it's one thing.
Been here too long.
Two people here. Pasha continues. But when you just blow up on a mine, it's such an awful thing.
Such an awful thing.
Why are you sitting there? We need two people.
Watch out, okay. Look where you're going.
Come on, let's get the bomb out.
The recruits carry the casualties out of the woods, watched by Stacy and Sergeant Couples.
How was that?
Initially, it was fairly slow, I'll be honest. I think the big thing to take away from it is the use of the safe lane. Quite a lot, they slip outside of it. Yes, they're blue and they're fake, but in reality, that could well be a mine.
How blunt do you have to be with them?
Yeah, just tell them, do what we're taught. This is stuff that we know works. Mm-hmm. So if you can take away the bare minimum from it, you're going to survive.
Keep checking the tourniquets, making sure they're on properly still.
I tell them, if they don't practice what they're taught, then they're going to die.
But that is true.
It is true, but it's also, as hard as it is to say it, it's also nice to see them when you tell them that and they go, and their head just drops and you know then it's hit home. And they'll come out the next time and they will do it 1,000 times better than they did then.
To make the exercise as realistic as possible, the recruits weren't warned that the casualties would be played by amputees. Do any of them totally freak out? Because these guys are civilians, right?
Yeah, one chap turned away and went and threw up in the bushes. He didn't look very well. But he was probably a taxi driver 2 weeks ago, you know, something like that.
And that's what I'm constantly reminding myself. You know what I mean? These aren't soldiers.
But they are. By the time they get out of here, they know enough so they can get to the next stage. Keep them alive to get to a doctor.
Lads, stop moving like a gang fuck. You're moving like fucking civilians. Peel in.
The recruits are lined up in a car park and march through an army base surrounded by countryside.
After 2 intensive weeks in the field, the recruits are getting a short break back in camp for some classroom training on tactics, weapons, and the international laws of armed conflict. It's also time for dry clothes and a warm meal, and a chance for Artem to show me some of his jewellery.
This is my favourite piece. I always make it. It's an owl. It's not only about skills. My soul is in there.
And so what? Did you have a workshop at home?
We did. We had a workshop where we would fuse, base, polish and grind.
But the war means Artem's business is on hold.
My work stopped when the airspace was closed. The number of orders dropped and we couldn't post as much as we used to. A sign points to the kitchens and officers' quarters.
Mikola, the florist, is also thinking about home and missing his partner.
What does your girlfriend do?
My girlfriend does eyelash extensions.
Has she ever practiced on you?
No, I have very beautiful eyelashes already. That's what she says.
All the guys I talk to say their families back home are struggling.
Artem says, every day my partner asks me when we'll see each other. It's hard because I just can't answer that question. I feel really bad. But I promise her, whenever I have a chance, even a spare minute, I will spend it with her.
When calling home, the recruits sometimes have to try again and again because Russian forces have been targeting the infrastructure in Ukraine. But the next day, Mykola gets lucky.
On a video call, he says, "Hi, honey, how have you been today? You have electricity?" His girlfriend says, "There was power before lunchtime, and then it was cut." "You've put on weight." "Have I?" he asks. "Oh dear, yes." He says, "Maybe I've put on muscle, not fat." "Babe, I miss you. We'll meet after the victory."
She's probably really missing you, and, you know, she's got her own things to contend with over there.
It's tough for my girlfriend and for my mum as well. Her three sons have gone to war. There's a fourth, but we're asking him not to join up. Three is enough.
Bloody hell. Shit, I didn't know that. So, yeah, your mum is thinking three of my four kids are going out on the front line. That's really, really hard.
What you're about to see now is what's known as a two-man cradle.
Two men lift a third between them.
Pasha has also managed to get through. Ivanka! I'm Stacy. It's really lovely to meet you. One of his best friends, Ivanka, is a combat medic. She's asked to transfer to the same unit as Pasha when he goes to the front line.
I'm kind of worrying about him, so this is the part of my decision to go to his unit, just to maybe some help to get him through this.
I mean,
Pasha says she will heal me.
Well, that's incredible.
Pasha is kind of guy whom I never thought could get into military, because all the team of our friends are just very optimistic and friendly people, and you never can't imagine any one of them like being in war, at war. Just that part, I think a lot of us will come back really different from this situation.
Because
I hope Pasha won't, because he's a really good person.
Yeah.
Pasha is everything to survive.
I'll try my best.
He joins his hands to form a heart. Ivanka laughs and returns the gesture. Learning to be lethal. On a firing range.
The aim of the course is to teach the recruits to survive and to be lethal. So halfway through, it's time to shoot to kill.
Adopt the prone position!
Listen
to your instructions! Ready? In your own time, go on!
Wearing glasses, Pasha shoots three bullet holes near the centre of the target.
We've done very good.
I don't know why, but I think that it's just a lag.
Yeah, that's very good, very good.
Don't hurry, we'll see you later, after.
Maybe for goodness luck.
Yeah.
But Artem has not had a good day on the range.
Usually I shoot really well, but today it was bad. I made a few mistakes, I got really nervous, and that's why I'm in a bad mood. Mykola says, but you're smiling, it's going to be all right. Think of it as an experiment. Artem says, yes, everything will be fine.
Artem and Mykola have become really close over the last 3 weeks.
Artem says, I've left behind my friends, but I've made new family and friends here. We really are one family. We support and help each other.
Both the training and the thought of what lies ahead is starting to get to Artem.
He tells Stacy, we're all prepared that we might not come back. Even when we arrived at the recruitment office, the very first question was, are you ready to die?
Ти готовий померти. І мене дуже
And it was really moving, because everyone together said, yes. He adds, we must put an end to this war. Aliyah, who's translating, is overcome and buries her face in her hand.
They are asked, are you ready to die? Everyone say, yes, we are.
It can take a minute. Aliyah has been translating for me. As well as the recruits.
Aliyah sobs and says, I'm so sorry.
No, don't be daft. It's a lot, it's a lot. It's gonna upset you. We can wrap this up.
Well, what he was saying that. No,
Stacy crouches beside her and Artem comes over, hugs her and says, everything's going to be fine. She sobs into his shoulder. Back on the training ground.
Sometimes we're a bit more than linguists. It's a bit challenging sometimes. You get to know a little bit their stories. You get to know a bit about their families. And then you have to say goodbye to them. And they're not going back to their families. You know where they're going, pretty much.
He's lost both his legs, let's go! Let's get to the exchange, I know it's hard, let's go!
So that's a very challenging part of this job.
Are there people that are stuck in your mind?
To be quite honest with you, I try not to think about it too much. Because I don't want to know, I don't want to get any bad news at some point. Because it's going to kill me, I know it. I've lost a couple of friends who've been fighting on the front line, and that's devastating, it's terrible. It's like such an emptiness inside, so I genuinely love them and I genuinely care about them. But at this point of time, I don't want to like know any news, you know, because I won't be able to work.
The Ukrainian flag flies above the base. Pasha, in uniform, helmet, and full camouflage face paint on the training field. Other recruits build a camp and stand watch in the woods, hooded against the falling rain and mist.
In your own time, fire!
Aliyah wears ear defenders as she watches shooting practice. Two recruits cross a muddy lane with the rifles pointed in front of them. The group stands in a row for early morning inspection, with frost on the grass as the officer makes his way down the line. Artem cleans and strips his rifle, with several parts laid out on the floor around him. The recruits move in single file along a trench, with the leader firing as he advances. They march back to base.
With the reality of war sinking in, Pasha has asked us if we would record a message for his parents.
I want to say
a few words to my lovely parents. Maybe when they will see this, I'll be already dead. I want to say that I love and respect you very much, and I'm grateful for the time and knowledge that you spent raising me. You brought up not the worst person. I'm very grateful. I love you very much. Trench warfare. Two recruits advance along a waterlogged trench. Instructors watch from overhead.
Both sides have built a network of World War I style trenches in Ukraine. So the next stage of the training is to learn how to kill and not be killed when fighting in them.
Let's go! Momentum, let's go!
This just feels so incredibly bleak. They've got to bear in mind that there's drones, etc. There's just threats, constant threats, coming at them from all angles. And on occasions, they'll spend days in this kind of environment. It's sort of unbelievable, really.
Pasha shakes a drinking pouch and says, boom, tequila, then adds, it's not tequila, it's an energy drink.
Pasha is about to lead his section into the trenches.
Pasha in the trench, the instructor above him.
Start moving up.
Let's go.
Pasha follows the instructor, staying crouched.
Okay, push forward.
He runs through muddy water. Oh, fuck.
Stop.
Pasha and the next recruit cover each other as they advance.
Good.
Get the weapon off, you're
going to
shoot
me off. Right,
now wait there.
For me, trenches is more interesting. Maybe it's because enemy
Maybe
is closer
it's
to you.
Enemy is closer
to you.
Don't go past the bench!
It's very exciting for me. The recruit behind Pasha taps his shoulder. He advances to the end of the trench and someone shouts, clear.
Fighting in the trenches can turn into hand-to-hand combat at any moment.
So if I come round a corner and it hasn't been cleared for some reason, and I hold the weapon back like this, he's on his form, and he's got the weapon system across my chest and shoulders. He can put over his right or left hand across the weapon system to pin me back, and then he can use his knife or bayonet to either cut underneath the body armour, got me, or to get me in the throat.
Another instructor demonstrates.
Father of two, Serhi, is fighting under Pasha's command.
Pasha asks, do you like it more than previous days? So he says, I like it all.
He likes everything because it's not rain.
I especially like our commander, Pasha. Pasha says in English. I will not translate that.
Serhi lives with his wife and two kids in the town of Bucha, just outside the capital, Kyiv. On the day of the invasion, he was woken by the noise of Russian tanks. When the tanks started entering, just try and describe that moment.
There aren't words to describe it, I can't explain. Showing Stacy phone camera footage of the tanks, he says, my only thought was to stay alive, keep my family alive, that's it. We had a reasonable basement where I could hide my wife and children.
At the start of the war, Serhi and his family hid in the basement for over a month, until the Ukrainian army was able to liberate Bucha.
My little daughter likes drawing, and while we were down there, she drew an amazing picture on a video call.
Hello, baby. Oh, she's shy. Hello, sweetheart. So tell me, how old are you?
Seven.
Wow. And what have you been up to today? They are gorgeous.
Marika.
The teapot with a little bumblebee. Have you missed Daddy? Yes. Yes.
Dad misses you as well. His daughter says, very, 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 very.
I can't imagine what it must be like to fear so much for your children's lives. They're safe now, but I can see why Serhi and the other men are so motivated to protect their families and their country, whatever the cost.
Thank you. If it's a boy, I'll have to call it Pasha.
Pasha helps Stacy over the rough ground. Later.
One round standing. Adopt the standing alert position everywhere.
Back on the shooting range, Pasha is still bang on target.
Pasha will be a sniper for sure. Pasha does it really well. Amazing. Well done.
Sniper, huh?
They bump fists and Pasha says, we'll kill them all. Of course, sir, he replies. No doubt about it.
Mykola and Artem are also ready for their toughest test yet, shooting targets at 100 metres.
Adopt the prime position!
They lie down on the snowy ground and take aim with the rifles.
Watch and shoot!
Targets pop up and they shoot. One by one, the targets fall. Artem stands up.
Certainly, like the end of last week, I feel like Artem was getting really frustrated because he felt like his shooting just wasn't on point and he sacrificed so much. Today, it feels like he's hitting the target a lot more.
Aliyah tells Artem, good job.
Right, how did they do?
Okay, so you've got Mikola here, he hit 20 out of 20.
Stop it.
Good shooting.
20 out of 20?
20, yeah, so he fired 20 rounds, hit 20 rounds.
So. Full house. You know he's a florist?
Florist?
He was a florist, yeah, gardener.
Florist and an artist. And then we've got lane 10.
That's Artem.
Artem hit 17, yeah, it's pretty good.
And he was a jeweller?
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
They've passed?
Yeah, passed easily, yeah. Yeah, and passed well, so that's really good.
Lane 3, 20 out of 20. An instructor says in Ukrainian, very good, and fist bumps Mikola.
It's really striking how much Mikola has changed over the last few weeks, but he's still a florist at heart.
This enemy has come to us and is trying to take everything away. That's why I'm training here right now, to vanquish them, so I can go back to my garden.
And the intensity of the training hasn't stopped Mikola from sending flowers to the middle of a war zone.
You are such a romantic, so whilst you've been here, you've managed to arrange a delivery of flowers to your girlfriend in Ukraine.
On his phone, he shows Stacey photos of his girlfriend with a large bouquet and says, sometimes it's hard to find time for the people who are supporting you back home. And we're so grateful for those people. So you just have to make the time and try to create some nice moments. If they feel good, we feel good.
But not everyone's relationship is coping with the strain. Artem tells me things have come to a head with his girlfriend.
A couple of days ago, we split up because of the war and the distance. War is not just about death, it's about other things ending as well. Sitting with another recruit beside a gas stove in the forest camp, he says, I don't feel great about it. Maybe I'm trying to hide it. I've loved for 3 years, and then the war started, and everything went wrong. And now I'm alone. Liberation. Armed recruits jog along a lane winding uphill in two single-file columns on either side of the road.
The training will soon be over. In a few days, the recruits will fly back to Ukraine. They've heard they're going to be part of a specialist battalion attacking Russian forces in occupied territory. Liberating Ukraine is the dream for the recruits. And today, some good news has reached the camp.
We've got a picture come back of a guy that was someone that the UK trained, who's been pictured during the liberation of Kherson.
This is wild.
Yeah.
Who would have done this course?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes you feel like it's worthwhile because, like I said, you're never sure. We don't see what happens when they get back there, so you just have to hope that what we've taught them, that they remember it and they use it when they get back there. But seeing they are putting into practice what we've taught them shows that what we've done is working in some capacity, so yeah.
It's such an incredible shot, isn't
it? Yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Being kissed on the cheek by a civilian.
Today, the recruits will be moving with an armoured vehicle, and they'll then come under attack. A pasha will then have to lead the men on foot to neutralise the threat. For now, they're still using blanks, but in just a few days, this could all be for real.
Here's our enemy. Team Delta, peel out there. I'll take Team Charlie and we'll go around. Pasha says, check the magazines and everything we have left. These are the responsibilities of 2IC. Exactly, then we form the line and go forward.
Pasha, yeah, he's a great lad. Sometimes I speak to him like normally as a sort of friend. Later today, when we go out, he's actually going to be stepping up to a section commander. So he's going to be commanding about 8 to 9 people. So you'll see him from being a welder back at home to second command. And now he's stepping up to section commander. So it's quite a big jump in these weeks that we do this training.
How many people do we need to clear? 2, 4? Pasha replies everyone will cover, and Serhii will kill them all. We'll send him with only a knife. Serhii says, it will be difficult to take somebody's life. I'm just a normal man. I have no right to do such a thing. But all of us have children, parents, sisters. We're ready. I'll do whatever it takes to live in peace. An armored personnel carrier crawls slowly down the lane with a sniper mounted on the roof and recruits walking in close formation behind it. The sniper opens fire and shouts, "Contact left!"
Contact
right!
Pasha says, "Guys, it's time to shine. Take your positions." Gunfire flashes from a wooden bunker covered with branches. Pasha tells his men, "You stay here, cover us, take your positions and spread out."
White suppression fire in the bunker!
In our section.
In our section, I have to show the example for guys how to act, how to do it. Pasha leads the way uphill.
Илюха, мы с тобой идем!
Get the grenade ready!
Do you think you'll be able to pull the trigger and take life?
Yep.
You won't struggle?
I will not hesitate.
Илья, let's go. First me, then you.
We are fighting not against military guys, against army. We're fighting against enemy that came to our houses and fight not against our army, but against civil people. It's unacceptable.
Илья, come closer and throw the grenade. A smoking grenade flies through the trees and into the bunker. There's a flash from inside, and Pasha and the other recruits surge forward, firing into the bunker.
Чисто!
Clear. Amid the smoke, they stand guarding their new position. Now, back on level ground. We have to make photo with you. Recruits and instructors pose for a group photo sitting or standing with their rifles around the British flag.
The recruits have completed some of the most intense training in the world.
Honestly, like, they've come a long way in that, and it's really good to see from the start of the course and how they've improved. Couldn't ask for a better lot of lads. Pasha stepped up as commander multiple times and that, so, and you know, we've recommended for him and another lad when they go back to Ukraine that they might be put forward for a command. Because of that, so.
Well done, mate. Artems made a big decision about life after the war.
I'm going to apply to the military academy.
Artem, no more jewellery.
Yes, for me this is it. I'm 32 years old and I've truly found my passion. I feel like I'm 18 again.
Have you let your little boy know the plan? Because I know it's his dream to be a soldier when he's grown. What did he say?
He might see me now as a superhero who fights evil. On a misty morning, Aliyah hugs a recruit who calls her our beauty. Another says, "Don't miss us." She sobs and tells him to go. He says, "Stop, don't cry. It's going to be fine."
Yeah, this is my life and that's what I want to do. I see the benefit that this training brings for the guys.
The soldier from previous rotation, he recorded me a voice message and he said, "I'm really scared, but I'm really grateful to the UK." I was like, "I'm so grateful I did this training."
There you go, mate. All right.
Thank you so much.
Well done, boy. All right, happy? Yeah. You look fresh today as well. All right.
The kit they've borrowed for the last 5 weeks has been given back. And the guys are back in their civvies for the return to Ukraine.
I can't quite believe this day has come. It feels like the last day of term. But, you know, instead of going off on their holidays, they're going to fight a war. They're going to fight Russian troops. And there are moments where you forget what's at stake and the magnitude of all of this. It's been so worthwhile.
feels like yesterday that you arrived, but I'm sure that time's gone even quicker for you. You're the most lethal course that we've had through here so far. I almost feel sorry for the Russians who are going to face you. As a soldier, I feel uncomfortable saying goodbye to you whilst we remain safe here in England. But for me, this has been the greatest honour to play this very small part in Ukraine's victory over Russia. Ukraine has been defending Europe and our way of life. So thank you for everything you have done and everything that you will do.
Well done, buddy.
Good luck, bro.
Artem says, we'll do great things. I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready, physically and mentally. I'm ready. On the bus, Mikola says, this is our job, to go and liberate, centimetre by centimetre. We'll kick the enemy out and liberate our lands.
How long do you think this war will go on for?
I can't.
Sitting next to Stacy on the bus, Pasha replies, I can't say that. I'm sure that we'll win. It's only a question of time, and question how much people will die. I hope, of course, that I will survive, but...
I hope, of course, that I will survive, but...
Chances are not so big, is the truth.
I can't imagine having to accept something as massive as that. But I'm not in your position, so how can I?
And I hope that you will not be.
And I hope that you will not be, never. That's why we're fighting. Lined up to board a plane, recruits wave goodbye as they head for the stairs, and Pasha calls out, Hasta la vista. Artem got back together with his girlfriend and they got married. Just before, he was sent to the front line. A photo of Artem in uniform kissing his bride in white fur, then Artem in a foxhole. Mykola's girlfriend was allowed to visit him in camp. Serhii's family have left Ukraine. His daughter Marika's paintings were sold in London to buy Serhii body armour. Aliyah's back in camp, training more recruits. Pasha and Ivanka have been reunited on the front line. They smile for the camera in a military bunker. Stacy's daughter Minnie was born a month after the recruits returned to Ukraine.